Well, good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be with you again here on the Hill. I invite you to open your copies of God's Word to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 38 to the end. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. You'll find that on page 1105 of the Pew Bible. Let us give attention now to the Word of God. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Amen. These are the words of the living God, and may He be pleased to write them on our hearts this morning. Well, I hope that most of us here today in the last week or two have had at least a few days of welcome rest from our busy schedules. We often enjoy the holidays for the opportunity they provide us to maybe spend a little more time than usual with our family and our loved ones, time that we maybe don't often have luxury, we might say, to do some of these things, to enjoy a lot of good food and share gifts and play games perhaps with our families, these kinds of things. We've come to the end of another very busy year, and I hope a very productive year as well. And so it's only natural for us, I think, on the first Lord's Day of a new year to reflect and to ask ourselves, what have we accomplished in 2019, the year that has just passed? How have we grown in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? I think we would all agree that we live in an exceptionally busy age. The march of technological progress has made completing our tasks faster and much more efficient, and that, of course, leads to greater productivity. But I think it also leads perhaps to a much greater list of things that we think we can cram into the same 24 hours that God has given to every one of us. None of us here gets 25 hours in 2020, but perhaps we'll try to cram 25 hours worth into the 24 hours allotted to us. But the question we need to ask this morning is, how much of that window of time have we devoted to communion with the God who gave us those 24 hours? Perhaps as we review the year that has passed, some of us need to confess that maybe we haven't lived very balanced lives in 2019. Perhaps we've not been lazy as such, but neither have we perhaps retained the right priorities between things that are temporal and things that are eternal. And so perhaps this morning we find ourselves sputtering on spiritual fumes across the line into 2020, only to do it all over again. And that, you see, is where this beautiful little story about these two sisters, Mary and Martha, I think will help us take spiritual stock of our priorities as we look forward to this new year that has begun. We may achieve many things, and we may have achieved many things in the year that has passed, and for that we can be thankful. But as we move on from here into the new year, Jesus reminds us here that in contrast to the many things, only one thing is necessary. So to think about this subject, there's two things I'd like us to see in this text. I want us to consider, first of all, Martha's heart for the ministry of service. And secondly, I want us to think about Mary's heart for the ministry of the Word. Martha's heart for the ministry of service. Mary's heart for the ministry of the Word. Let's begin then with Martha's heart. And Martha's heart was for this ministry of service. And if you have your Bible open, look with me again at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, there's three things I'd like you to see under this first heading. The first thing is this. The ministry of service is a good thing. The ministry of service is a good thing. We read here that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And consequently, in verse 40, Jesus acknowledges that she is busily engaged in much serving. Much serving. That Greek word translated serving is that important New Testament word, diakonia, from which we derive the word deacon. It's most commonly used, of course, in the context of the church, where it primarily defines that ministry of mercy, particularly to meet temporal and physical needs. And so here, Martha's ministry of diaconal service was hospitality. And she had a most honored guest, didn't she? None other than the Lord Jesus, who once said, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And in the context, Jesus has been traveling and teaching extensively, and he's no doubt thankful for the respite and the refreshment that Martha's home provides. And I think right away we have a point of application, don't we? Martha's heart for the ministry of service is not only good, but it's worthy of our imitation. Now, hospitality is not a biblical suggestion. It is, in fact, a biblical command. Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. There's no more important decision that you and your family can make for 2020, spiritually speaking, than to welcome Jesus into your home. And then if you've said with Martha, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," you'll not only welcome Jesus in, you'll welcome his needy people in as well. Matthew 25:35, Jesus says, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in." And he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did this to one of the least of these, my servants, you did this to me." So the ministry of service is a good thing. The church needs its Marthas. And I trust that this congregation is blessed with many Marthas. Some of you men here, I trust, are married to Marthas. And like our Lord, while he was upon earth, the members of his body have temporal as well as spiritual needs. And like Martha, we should keep our eyes open to think how we might best be called to meet those temporal needs. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Ministry of service, it's a good thing. But secondly, under this heading, the ministry of service is often a distracting thing. The ministry of service is often a distracting thing. And that's what we see in verse 39 and 40. she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. So Martha's ministry of service was good, but it wasn't happening in a vacuum. There was something of eternal significance happening in her home that day. You see, Jesus' visit to her family not only gave her an opportunity to serve him, it gave him an opportunity to serve her family as well. Jesus wasn't simply waiting on the sofa for the sumptuous dinner she was preparing in the next room. No, he too was busy teaching. Now we'll come to consider that aspect of the story in more detail in our second point. But as we're thinking first here about Martha's heart, we read that Martha was distracted. Distracted with much serving. Distracted by what? By much serving. This good and noble and example-setting ministry of service was distracting her. But distracting her from what? From listening to his teaching. The Greek literally is distracted from hearing his word. Hearing his word. This word distracted, it's only found here actually in the New Testament. It means to be overoccupied, to be too busy about a thing. And what I want you to see this morning, friends, it's not the thing itself that's problematic. It's a good thing she's doing. Rather, it's the priority that this good thing has assumed in her life. It's something she has a heart for. It's something she's very good at. It's something she enjoys doing. But it's also something that's begun to distract her from an even greater priority. Kevin DeYoung, in his great little book, Crazy Busy, some of you may have read it, this is his comment. He says, Martha is not doing anything bad. She's just being pulled away from what is better. She's so busy with dinner that she's giving Jesus her spiritual leftovers. It's good, isn't it? Spiritual leftovers. Is that what we give Jesus? And we learn from her, don't we, that the good is often the enemy of the best. Or to put it another way, Martha's service to others' welfare has led her to neglecting her own spiritual welfare. Her service has distracted her from hearing the word. And brothers and sisters, when that happens to us, our ability to bless others by our ministry of service is itself hampered. We defeat our own purposes. Instead of a fruit-bearing ministry towards others, our service can become a thorn-bearing towards ourselves. You remember the parable, Matthew 13:22. He who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but then the cares of this world choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Martha's busyness. It's a good thing, but it's choked the word. It's choked the word so that it ceases to bear fruit in her life as it ought. Haven't you found it to be true in your Christian life that Satan can turn your greatest strengths into some of your greatest weaknesses? In this case, Martha, with her great gift of homemaking and hospitality, becomes negligent in the means of grace. Satan will rarely use an overtly wicked thing to distract you from the ministry of the word, at least not at first. But instead, he'll use the good things, even ministry things, to undermine your communion with Christ. And if he succeeds in doing that in this year that has begun, then, my friend, he will have successfully turned your ministry itself into an idol. Once the good things you busy yourself with become idols to you. You will become irritated when something else comes along and distracts you from them. That's exactly what we see in this story with Martha. Look again, listen to her in verse 40. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? You tell her to help me." You hear the irritation. When time with the Lord each day becomes an unwelcome intruder on your precious time that you're busily spending on other things, even good things, then let me suggest to you it's high time that you reevaluate your priorities in life. And the start of the year is a good time to do that. Isn't that what we see in Martha's actions when she finally does approach Jesus in verse 40? It's not to worship. It's not to listen. It's to complain about how unproductive she's being in serving her domestic idol. Don't you care? That's something you should never say to Jesus Christ, by the way. Don't you care? Jesus cares. Oh, how he cares. But we forget these things when we become so consumed with our own personal agenda. So she complains to the Lord that Mary doesn't share her priorities. She essentially blames Mary for being selfish. Who's really being selfish here? Who's really being selfish? Martha has become so absorbed in a good and honorable thing that she's lost her sense of proportion and priority. I wonder, am I speaking to someone here this morning and this is resonating with you? Maybe as you reflect on the year that has passed, have you found yourself perhaps being irritated with other people? Irritated that time spent with the Lord is intruding on your precious time that you've allotted to other things that have become a greater priority to you. Good things have perhaps become sinful distractions from the Word of God, trumping your communion with Christ. You can become distracted by your vocation. God has called you to this thing. And he does call some of us to serve in particularly demanding and time-consuming vocations. Sometimes the Lord tests us with unreasonable bosses who make simply, well, draconian demands of our time, perhaps. Maybe it's a string of family emergencies you've had. And they stretch you thin. Maybe it's multiple deadlines you can't control. Sometimes you become distracted by family responsibilities. Martha here was probably a widow. She seems to have been the head of her own home here. And whether you bear that particular weight of responsibility or not, many of us here are just at a very busy stage of life. I see a lot of little boys and girls here. So I know there are busy people here. Very busy. Maybe it's the other end of life. Some of you perhaps are caregivers to aging parents. These things are callings from God. They're important. They take up our time. So the ministry of service is often a distracting thing, isn't it? But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. There are times and seasons when our schedules impinge on our time with Christ, but never indefinitely. It's not so much that serving others is by definition distracting. Rather, it's the amount of serving we undertake that can be distracting. The text says Martha was distracted not with serving. She was distracted with much serving. Much serving. And the question, as Jesus will explain to us later, is one of priorities. How do we choose to invest our time? As Christians, we want to redeem the time. We want to ask God to teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. But he gives us all the same 24 hours. None of us gets an hour more. And so we all must choose how we will invest them. Ministry of service. It's a good thing. It's often a distracting thing. And thirdly, the ministry of service is often a worrying thing. A worrying thing. Verse 41. "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.'" Anxious and troubled. Now, again, it need not be the case, but often the ministry of service becomes a worrying thing. We gradually lose sight of Christ, our busyness over our domestic concerns, our provision for our families, our comfort, our convenience. These things can so overwhelm our perspective that we become anxious and troubled. And what we have in this story, friends, is a real life example of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows that you need them. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you remember what he says? All these things will be added to you. They will be added to you. And again, Jesus challenges your priorities this morning. The matters of eternity must take precedence over your pressing temporal concerns, which he has promised to provide for us. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry. But Martha was worrying. And she was worrying because in her busyness she'd lost sight of the one thing that is necessary. And again, maybe I'm speaking to someone here this morning. You're worried this morning. You're worried about the new year. Happy New Year. Oh, if you knew what I have to deal with this year, doesn't sound very happy. You're worried. You're anxious. You're troubled about many things that you anticipate. You have an endless list of responsibilities. But Jesus reminds you that many things can be worrisome precisely because they are so many. We're going to sing after the sermon, Psalm 127:2. It is vain for you to get up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of anxious toil. So what does he do? He gives his loved ones sleep. So what have we seen so far? Martha's heart for the ministry of service. It was a good thing, but she'd allowed it to become distracting from the word and a source of worry, a source of trouble of mind. And even though this woman lived many centuries ago in a very different culture, her little domestic world is a lot like the world we occupy. It's a stressful one. Many legitimate demands. And surely there's a warning here for all of us. Martha reminds you and I to beware of a creeping spiritual neglect. If you find yourself this morning worried and troubled about many things, the odds are you're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Too many irons in the fire often mean fewer irons in the fire of God's word. So that's Martha and her ministry of service. But she has a sister, Mary, and we want to spend the rest of our time this morning thinking about her, Mary's heart for the ministry of the word. Mary's heart for the ministry of the word. And by ministry of the word, we mean Mary's primary concern for her soul, for her spiritual life, for her personal relationship and communion with the Lord through the means of grace. Look at verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now again, there's three things I want us to note briefly about Mary. I want you to notice that the heart for the ministry of the word is a good thing. That's the first thing I want you to see about Mary. That this heart for the ministry of the word is a good thing. She sat at Jesus' feet and she listened to his teaching. Literally, she heard his word. And this idea of sitting at Jesus' feet is, of course, an allusion to discipleship. The Apostle Paul, remember, in Acts 22:3, describes his training. He was brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. That just means he was Gamaliel's disciple. And in the same way here, Mary is Jesus' disciple. For Jesus' true disciples will always be found sitting at his feet, listening to his word. It's a posture of humility, recognizing that our lives and all their concerns are subordinate to the revealed will of our Savior expressed in this book, His infallible Word. It's a posture of personal communion with Jesus, sitting at His feet, sitting close, listening to His voice as He applies it to our hearts as individuals. It's a sure mark of being a member of Jesus' family. Luke 8:21, Jesus said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the Word of God and do it." And it is treasured by the disciple more than all this world can offer. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, "Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." You see, a faithful disciple allows nothing to abate his or her hunger and thirst for the life-giving Word of Christ. Listen again to the psalmist in Psalm 81:10. God says, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." Do you come to the Word with your mouth open wide, with expectation? Do you sit at the Lord's feet and listen for His Word? A word for you as an individual, a word for you all as a congregation. Jesus explicitly tells us that it is a good portion in verse 42. That word translated portion, it literally refers to the portion or a course of a meal. Some of you maybe had a very large Christmas dinner with lots of portions, lots of courses, okay? And maybe it took quite a while to get through it all. I don't know. But this story is really comparing and contrasting two kinds of feeding, isn't it? Two kinds of feeding. Is our priority the food for the body, or is it for the food for the soul? You see, while Martha has been preoccupied with preparing food portions, there's a more important portion that Mary is presently tucking into that's far more important. While Martha prepares a physical feast in the kitchen, much as some of you did perhaps this last week or two, Jesus is spreading a very different kind of feast in the living room. Two different portions, two different feasts. And Mary has learned that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus here says explicitly that the heart you have for the ministry of the Word is a good thing. It is that good portion. But it's more than just a good thing. It's a better thing. Verse 42, one thing, he says, is necessary. And Mary has chosen that good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Both are good things. Ministry, service, ministry of the Word. But Jesus says only one of them is absolutely necessary. One is more important than the other. Jesus says in John 6:27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst." Let me ask you this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, have you learned Mary's lesson? Do you sit and attend the ministry of the Word as it's preached in God's house week by week? Do you read God's Word as families? Do you privately seek communion with Jesus in His Word as you open your Bible each day? That heart for the ministry of the Word is a good thing. But what I also want you to learn this morning, in the second place, about Mary, is that this heart for the ministry of the Word is often a misinterpreted thing. Let me say that again. A heart for the ministry of the Word is often a misinterpreted thing. Now, what do I mean by that? We've seen how Mary interrupted Jesus' lesson in verse 40. "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone. In other words, she's saying, Lord, my sister's priorities are clearly wrong. You see, Martha's misinterpretation is that, at least in this case, the ministry of the word is subordinate to the ministry of service. But on the contrary, it's the ministry of the word that fuels the ministry of service. She's frustrated by Mary's choice, and she appeals to Jesus, don't you care? And the answer is, well, of course Jesus cares. Of course he cares. We read in John 11:30, interesting side note. Now, Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Jesus does not for a second condemn Martha for all the trouble she's gone to on his behalf. Not at all. He knows that it's an expression of her genuine love for her Savior. Nevertheless, Jesus must issue a gentle rebuke. It's a rebuke. It's a gentle one. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Martha's misunderstanding stems from what we saw in our first point. Her priorities are wrong. Martha's anxious and troubled about many things. Only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen that good part. You see, the implication is that Martha too has made a choice. She too has chosen a portion, chosen a part. But she's chosen the many, comparatively inconsequential things over the one thing that is actually necessary, the one thing that matters. She's chosen to busy herself with many temporal things to the neglect of her soul. Friends, you only have one soul. You know that, don't you? You've only one soul to save from this perishing world. And to jeopardize that soul by pursuing too many temporal things is a fool's errand. Luke 9:25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? What profit is it? And so Martha too has a choice to make. Mary's chosen. She's chosen that good portion. What are you going to choose, Martha? That's the question that we're faced with this morning. What are we going to choose in 2020? What are we going to choose? Dear friends, we need to listen to the challenge of this passage. Martha has misunderstood the comparative importance of the ministry of the word. Perhaps some of us have in the year that's passed. Like her little sister Mary, she needs to go afresh to Jesus and sit at his feet. She needs to commune with Jesus. She needs to fetch daily grace for her many chores. And when she seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, she'll find that all these things will be added to her. So how have our priorities been in the year that's passed? Have you chosen that one thing that is necessary? What have you lived for? Have your priorities been temporal or spiritual? Again, don't misunderstand. Jesus is not, you know, throwing the Proverbs 31 woman under the bus here, okay? You know, along with her hands grasping the spindle. No, absolutely not, okay? An industrious woman in the home is highly prized in the Word of God. I trust we all know that. Jesus knows the burdens of the busy homemaker. He knows the hectic schedule of the businessman. He knows the relentless ministry of the caregiver. But it's not until you get Christ in perspective, like Mary did, that all these other worthy responsibilities come into proper perspective. And instead of being anxious and troubled about many things, you will leave them at your Savior's feet, because that is where you habitually sit. And if you do that in this new year, you're not going to be disappointed. We've seen that the heart for the ministry of the word is a good thing. It's often a misinterpreted thing. But finally, a heart for the ministry of the word is always a rewarding thing. It's always a rewarding thing. Jesus promises here in our text to reward those who, like Mary, choose that good portion. He assures you in verse 42, it will not be taken away from you. Isn't that good? Wonderful that he makes that promise. If you choose this good portion, I'm not going to take that away. I'm not going to take it away from you. He's never sent anyone away hungry who genuinely sought him for their spiritual nourishment. And he makes this promise to all of you who will choose that good portion in 2020 and humbly seek him in his word. It will not be taken away. Yes, this new year will doubtless be busy. There's a lot of responsibilities and they're not going away. Yes, the little boys and girls are still going to be little boys and girls tomorrow. They'll be a little older come this time next year. Maybe take a few more responsibilities off your hands as they learn to do the chores. But it's still going to be busy. And the Lord knows this. He knows this. 6 days you shall labor. Of course, there will be many things that demand your attention. But in the midst of all the busyness, you'll be faced with this same choice of priorities. Resolve, therefore, at the threshold of this new year, like Mary, that you will choose the one thing that's necessary. Sit at Jesus' feet. Hear his word. When will you do that? Let me urge you, friends, hear his word on the Sabbath day in 2020. He's going to give you 52 opportunities to do so. 52 Sabbaths every year. Choose that good portion. Choose the ministry of the word. He's going to be present here by his Spirit to feed you his word on 104 occasions in 2020. Well, in 5 minutes it'll be 103, okay? But use them. Use the opportunities he's going to give you on the morning and evening of his holy day. Will you be here like Mary, or will you be preoccupied with temporal things like Martha? Why do you think he gave you one day a week free from Martha-like busyness from the concerns of the world? Well, it's so you can sit at Jesus' feet and listen without the guilt of uncompleted tasks or other distractions. When you think about it, all of us in this room have 6 other days of the week to be Martha, right? On this day, be Mary. Be Mary. If not, my friends, you will rob yourself. And you'll rob the Lord, actually, by sitting instead at the feet, perhaps, of your television or your PlayStation or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever distractions you perhaps tend to be attracted to. Okay, you fill in the gap. Of course, some of us here will have works of necessity to perform on the Lord's day. Many of us here, however, will not. And we need to resist the encroachments of our employers on the Christian Sabbath. More and more, the world's Marthas, especially in the corporate world, are increasingly taking up Martha's protest against Jesus' disciples. And they say, "Do you not care that my employees have left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell them to help me." My friend, you are more Jesus' disciple than you are your employer's employee. Get the priorities straight. And I'm not saying that will necessarily be easy for you to navigate. Your loyalty to Christ must take priority over your loyalty to the company. Hear his word on the Sabbath day. Hear his word also in family worship in 2020. Bring your whole family together to worship, to sit at his feet, so that you can all listen to his teaching. I mean, Jesus visits your home to teach his word like he did here in Bethany. Make it a priority that all are there to hear him. You know what I'm talking about here. Don't let your family be scattered in different rooms like Martha and Mary were, with different priorities. Keep it simple. Read the Bible and pray, and do it with an expectation that you'll meet with him. And lastly, hear his word in your personal devotions. In 2020, go into your room, Jesus says. Close the door. Turn off the cell phone. Again, there's different ways that can apply in our culture. But remove the distractions and pray to your Father who is in secret. Open his word and trust that it will not return to him empty, but accomplish the purpose for which he sends it into your life each day. A heart for the ministry of the word is always a rewarding thing. The Lord says this to those of us who will heed these counsels today. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So this passage then, we've thought about Martha's heart for the ministry of service. We've thought about Mary's heart for the ministry of the Word. And as we approach this new year, what will your priorities be? God's path of blessing to you and to your family is very simple. He says to you this morning, one thing is necessary. One thing. Will you choose that good portion and resolve to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word? If so, then you have his promise as you leave this place today that it will not be taken away from you. Amen. Well, just as we remain seated, let's bow our heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer. O Lord our God, we thank you that you have given us this beautiful account of Jesus visiting this family, of the domestic intimacy, of the setting, of the love Jesus had for this family, for the way in which each member of the family sought to use their gifts. And we thank you, O Lord God, that you know each of our homes as well. You know our situations, O Lord, our domestic situations, our needs. You know, O Lord, the long list of obligations that lie upon each of us. We thank you, O Lord God, that you do not simply ride roughshod over them. You deal with us tenderly, even when we get our priorities wrong. We thank you for this gentle rebuke that teaches us to put first our time with you, that enables us, O Lord God, to get our priorities straight. We ask, O God, that you would help us, O Lord, as we begin this new year, to make that one thing necessary our own priority, not only as individuals, but also as families and as a congregation as well. We ask, O God, that you would be present to bless in our homes, that you would be present to bless in this household of God here in Beaver Falls. Bless, O Lord God, the year that has begun. May it be a year of great spiritual growth for each of us. Would you help us, O Lord God, to be disciplined, O Lord God, to silence the noise of the world? And would you give us grace, O Lord God, to open our ears to hear the word, to open our minds wide, and to expect that you will fill them with a feast of good things in this year that has begun. Pardon every sin and bless us according to this word. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.